Maybe you need to help me, friends. I will direct your attention to the 40th Psalm, verses 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goals. First and second verses, Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my bones. Is a sinner saved by grace, speaks the family. And what greater matter can concern you, friend, in this solemn day which we live? To have a God who has not only managed your affairs for you in providence, but to have a God who has saved you by his precious grace, set you in Christ from before time began, and loved you with an everlasting love, and has ensured in his covenant mercy that there never will be any retraction of that hope. No matter what changes come about in your life, the outcome is settled. An endurance in time, and an entrance through mercy, and the love of Christ into everlasting bliss at the end of your life here. Now my mercy, friends, and I say this many times, my mercy is that I am convinced in the ministry that I set forth that there are evidences that are unassailable by man or devil, that what God does is perfect, and that he manifests what he does to man and devil. And the love of Christ, as it is set in a sinner's heart, comes out again and again, in opening up that sweet assurance that they are indeed loved of God. For that love he sets in their hearts returns to himself, in that from time to time they are led by the Spirit of God to have real communion with him. A character then, a sinner saved by grace. And I believe the word of the Lord's servants, perhaps more so today than it has ever been, is to open up these precious truths of the gospel, to answer the attacks of man and devil, which are so apparent in these evil days. That the Lord will have his dear people convinced that he loves them with an everlasting love, that they have a foundation that can never be moved, that they are anchored in Christ, the rock of eternal age. Our desire then, again and again, is to trace out the way. And I believe the children of God are willing to hear that way traced out. Tidn't to them but an empty repetition, but it opens up to their hearts from time to time sweet revelations of the mercy of God to them. And there's an echo in their hearts, way it's set forth. like he has done for them. How does the Lord work? According to the counsel of his own will, according to his sovereign will and pleasure, that which has been predetermined before time began, a people chosen in Christ before they had done good or evil, before they had form or substance, chosen in that only foundation, his own love. No merit in the creature, no merit ever to be attained to in time, but all found in a precious Jesus, eternal Son of God, made flesh to dwell among men, to satisfy all the demands of the living God the Father, that his dear people should stand in time in the new man, throughout eternity in Christ, holy as he is God. He calls them by his grace, that unmerited favor. He picks his people from a variety of places. He takes them out of the world, out of the depth of depravity of sin. He picks them out of church pews, those who have been brought up under the sound of truth. He separates them from that place of self-righteousness, and he brings every one of them to this place. Wretched, hell-deserving sinner I am, God help me. The pain of sin comes to closeness. The flesh doesn't like the way we sin so many times. How close this comes to condemn oneself, hell-deserving, wretched, vile. You know, Job said, behold, I am vile. How few say today, yes, they say they're sinners. By word of mouth. Much of the same as so many today are quite satisfied with the letter of truth. Invited in their head, yes. But the experience of it in the heart. To walk out these things. To be like Jonah, to go down into the very belly of hell, and there to be led by a living experience to be able to say, salvation is of the Lord. In necessity then to have a real religion, friend. The beginning of it will be of the Lord. Convince you of sin. Not just if you were here and here sitting in chapel, an outward ear. To hear someone that has been repeated perhaps thousands of times, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and to be brought into that place where the finger of God himself sears it in the heart. Thou art the man who brings one into true humility. God, be merciful to us. Another way, in your measure, there's no standard. Some go, truly go, into very great depths. The sovereign God. But his purposes are the same. To convince of sin and lead to Jesus' blood. No other way of salvation but through the atonement, that which Jesus fully completed, satisfaction to divine justice, payment for sin, bringing an everlasting righteousness to clothe his dear people the righteousness he imputed to them himself, to make them fit to stand before God forever and ever, completing God. Come this way of sin, the The language of the 38th Psalm is a deep one. I believe it isn't liked by too many. It is so much easier to the ear to hear some of the sweet things in the Word of God. Comfort ye, my people. Say unto her, her warfare is conflict. Easy to receive, naturally. Comfortable word. But to walk in the language of the opening of our reading, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me so on. What's it all about? Because of the rottenness of the flesh, the wickedness of the heart, and the evil desires of the mind, because of the pathway that the flesh would run in, and at times in measure do walk. God chastens his dear people for sin. He lays his hand upon them. He brings them into dark places. Having called them by his grace, shown them the way, led them to the mercy seat, opened their hearts to call for mercy, to give them a faint view according to his sovereign will as to the depth of it, the power of which the precious Christ opened to their understanding no other way but Jesus, and coming to an experience then which will continue to the time they pass out of this world. It will be to understand the language of Paul. Heart is calm and enmity against God. Not nice things to the flesh. It isn't easy, is it, friend? It never will be easy. Only God himself can bring his dear people to that place of acceptance. Utterly ruined, undeserving, unworthy, but favored above many, because thou art my charter. This is the place he brings his dear people. And so as he lays his hand upon them, at times they come into this place of truth. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. Mercy, friend, to come this way. For the Lord God has recorded in his word, and has walked out experimentally, he does not delight in grieving the children of men. The Lord God does not lay his hand upon people and sink them into hell, not this way. He doesn't touch their hearts and thus open their hearts to understand what they are by nature, in the ruin of the fall and by practice, and then leave them in the hands of the adversary Satan and send them to hell. His purpose is to open their eyes to their utter ruin, to show them the way of salvation which he hath already eternally purposed, to lead them in that pathway with that certainty that they shall endure to the end and be saved. He hasn't taken away from them that which he gave them, a free will. He controls it. Grace subdues sin, but from time to time there rises up the old man. In every believer, the poet says, there are two armies. One is the new man of grace, and mercy, but there still remains the old man of sin. The word itself, through the apostle, declares the flesh battles against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. There is that warfare, and at times the Lord, in his sovereignty, permits his people to go their own way. Although he speaks with that almighty power, as the adversary takes advantage of the weakness of the flesh, the Lord says from time to time, with divine power and authority, and opens it up, thus far shalt thou come, and no farther. There never will be black despair, there never will be a sinking into hell, there never will be a coming to that place where there is no return. I have met, oh yes, out of the way, as he brings his dear people back, as he brings them back, he chastens them. He gives them again to know what they are. He brings them into this place of open compassion. And then answers prayer, brings them into the place of our text, my friend. For while it deals with providence and with grace, it belongs to one character only, a chosen vessel of mercy. So our desire today is to find you and myself, that the outcome of it all shall be to exalt him who is worthy to be praised, to set up on high King Jesus, to acclaim in our hearts again, my Jesus has done all things well. Lovely Jesus, my Redeemer, my Lord, my God, my King, all my salvation. Blessed things we are offered. I waited patiently for the Lord. We read in the margin, in waiting, I waited. It means, my friends, there is that intensity of desire in me for the Lord to come. Can we take hold this morning in looking back? Can we look back and find places where the Lord, in the richness of his mercy, have blessed us in providence? For I am convinced we cannot separate the two. The Lord has his eye upon his dear people. He watches them in every step they take. And he has decreed that none shall lose the way. For in the 107th Psalm, in speaking of that people he brought out of Egypt, he led them forth by the right way, that they might come to a city of habitation. There must be a continuation in this life then, as he did with his dear people of old. He shod them, he fed them, he fought the battles for them, he provided for them continually until they ultimately entered that natural kingdom. His eternal purpose, nothing settled in time, eternally prepared, ready as tomorrow. With his dear people, right down to the end of time, it will be this way. Every step is ordained, provision is made for every needful thing, and in his providence, he will open doors. But the pathway will be as it was with the children of Israel. Again and again, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. providence then, can we look back? I waited patiently with God. In such a pathway at a particular time, such difficulties there were, didn't know how to manage, didn't know what step to take, no wisdom. To bring it very, very close, for it is the pathway of the children of God in providential matters. No man cared for my soul, all alone. Nowhere else to look. I waited patiently for the Lord. It's a good word in the margin. I waited, in waiting, I waited. It wasn't a hurried thing. It wasn't a quick deliverance. It was a deep pathway I was in. The exercise was great, yet I continued. The Lord helped me. I waited patiently. It doesn't mean, my friends, that in the midst of these things, there never was any rebellion, there was never any temptation, there were never any times when Satan said, the Lord had forgotten you. There were never any times, it wasn't that there were never any times when you began to wonder whether there ever was to be a deliverance. But you continued. Gave you no peace, again and again it bubbled up. In the midst of the trial, what shall I do? How shall I stand this trying day? Yet, at the bottom of it all, the words, Lord help me, Lord help me. I waited patiently for the Lord, and it looked better. My friends, I believe some of the Lord's dear people find some of their richest blessings in that. If they look back into their life, they can see so clearly the hand of the Lord in front of them. He opened the door that wasn't there naturally. He brought them out of the trouble that they felt certain at times would bring them to great destruction, no difference. The Lord answered, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Isn't it wonderful, friends, that this God who dwells in the highest heavens, who has control of the universe, hearts of all men in his hands, who can do all things, the impossible things with men, condescends to look down upon one world of the earth, you, deals with your particular case, gives you that grace to wait patiently for him. In that, there was a continuation of exercise before him. Couldn't give up, though it may have gone on for many a long day, yet still deep down in the bottom of the heart, Lord, help me. He put underneath those everlasting arms, he sustained them, he confirmed, though at the time it may well not have been the feeling of it, he confirmed his word to his dear people of old, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy day, so shall thy strength be. We also confirm to you in the outcome the eternal God was thy refuge, and unmoving of the everlasting earth. Blessed things to the fact of waiting patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He flying unto you, a wretched, hell-deserving sinner. She come again, still too warm. Some little while ago, my friends, a moving story. They're not stories for the sake of telling them, but it is to underline the wonderful mercy of our God, His favor towards a sinner, undeserved favor. I sat in the house some time ago now, the man who I esteem very highly for the and the housekeeper. And as we drew near the end of the evening, he brought out the Bible, called in his housekeeper. He asked me to read God. When I finished, that poor woman, I called her a poor woman, she said to me, "I'm not a sinner. Where are those things?" She went on to tell me the things that she did, how she walked in the right way. What mercy, friends, to be dropped into that pathway of knowledge. Lord, I'm utterly undone. Oh, my friends, as the Lord brings His dear people into that place, where they consider themselves in the knowledge of it that He has given them, to be utterly ruined through sin, He exalts them in God. He loves them with an everlasting love, and He will again and again condescend to look down and hear their cry. He knows the places they come into, and He knows too that again and again the trials that they do have are brought about by their own folly, but He doesn't come along. What will do for you? What a favor then to be able to look back and to say, "The Lord showed me what I was, but had mercy. The Lord has led me from time to time into those places of compassion where He's had mercy upon me and delivered me out of my temporal trial." There is no separation between providence and grace. Let's allow for His own great name's sake. You will have trials, friends. What you had in the past, not the end of them. There'll be more. You stand about it in your hand. For the Lord God hath declared, "I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." This God hath ordained that His dear people shall be found under His precious word, even to all as will I tell you. Good God, He holds everything in His hand. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. What a favor, because tomorrow we may be in real trouble, sin. The Lord knows what to lay upon His dear people. It's not done, nor does many men do things for sport. It isn't to pay you out. When the Lord brings His dear people into places or permits them to come into places of trial, there's a purpose in it. It may well be that you settle there. He's going to bring you back. You've prayed, yes, but in formality, a daily man. But you hear your voice. And you know, my friends, when the Lord will hear his people's voice, he'll not only hear them cry for mercy, but he'll hear them say, "Thou knowest I love thee." Friends, is he a people who continually into that realized union with himself in Christ? There is a union which hath been foreordained, signed, sealed, ratified, blood of Jesus, a union that can never be broken, it's in precious blood and everlasting love. But the creature is changed. The poet says, "My soul through many changes goes." He has to prove the Lord will see to it his love no variation. So he brings them from time to time into these places so that they walk with Hezekiah in his experience. By these things men live. And they're able to say, not repetition, but experimentally prove, "Thus wilt thou recover me and make me to live." Pathway the flesh can never understand. May well be someone here this morning saying, "My pathway is indeed a strange pathway. Why should these things be?" Well, at times it seems it comes right out of the blue. No reason for it. That is natural reason. Lord said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." But his purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour, that bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Why, look back oftentimes to my dear mother. I well remember her saying, I believe I told you before, she wouldn't have had anything changed in her life, so in her life, but she saw the Lord's goodness remaining in the child. The sweetness that came out of the child, when the Lord so sanctified it, it opened her heart a lesson. And it brought forth that sweet language of the psalmist in truth. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." The flesh never comes this way naturally. Sorrows, trials, difficulties, failures. For when the Lord sanctifies them, they walk in union. Father, thy will be done. Blessed be. What is the point then of these trials? To bring you nearer to your God. To establish you feelingly deeper in your Jesus. To make known to you that your God is the Almighty God, able to save you. To open up with real understanding and for men to see, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." How different this God is to man. This God will have his dear people enter into a spiritual understanding. They will have spiritual knowledge. Neither answered prayer. A place where you can go to any time of the day or night to lay before Him anything at all, however trivial it may seem to some, or however great it may appear to be to you. This God is the Almighty God, your God. He has ordained the mercy seat, and the one who stands between this holy God and a sinner's soul is a precious Christ. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. My friends, my desire has been this morning to open up the way a little, to show a little of the goodness of this God in Providence, of the very essence of real religion is salvation through love. Anchored in the rock, Christ Jesus, and unfolding of Him as the one who hath brought in for a people an everlasting salvation. The Lord set it forth through His sons. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the mire trap. It is my trusting friends, make no generally comments on the evidences that I hope the Lord gives me with regard to my tests. I had one this morning, and it may well be that there is one here who remembers it. Well, this word was mentioned partly in private prayer this morning. The word was laid upon my mind in the early hours as I lay in bed. I believe the Lord confirmed the word in private prayer before the left hand. A wonderful word that speaks to you. You whom He had convinced of sin, led to Jesus' blood. You who have seen His hand in many ways in providence. You who know there is no other God but Him, the living God. This word speaks with an authority, not a maybe, a certainty, founded upon the eternal purpose of a triune Jehovah. This people shall be my people, and I will be their God. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. They shall be mine in the day when I make up my yours. Fear not, I have redeemed thee. Call thee by thy name, thou art mine. All living reality, friends, foundation truths, none can be overcome. For the Lord God hath spoken. He gave His dear servant, who entered into this pathway of prayer, calling upon His God in a time of intensity of need, and having the unfolding of the certainty that this God is a God who gives prayer, who hears prayer, who answers prayer. And then He sets the foundation to it, that only foundation whereby this people are guaranteed that they shall one day enter into glory. He draws me up out of a horrible, also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. It is my friends to lift one utterly out of ruin self and to put them into Christ. It is that union that can never be broken. It is a dovetail into the eternal Son of God. One with Jesus. One with Jesus. Thus the eternal covenant set. Blessed eternal. It is you, isn't it? What a question. My friends, how solemn to be found in that place. I can't take hold. My mind goes back to something else. It's a solemn thing for me, and I feel there's a need to bring it again and again to bring it forth. I was told some time ago, one of the Lord's dear servants, he found heaven, who sat at the deathbed of a man who was one of his congregation. The man was actually dying. He told this man, the Lord's servant, he hated him. The minister said, "You hate me?" He said, "I hate the things you preach because I'm not going off them." Sat for years under the sound of truth, but hadn't entered into his heart. Grateful place for his. I remember another occasion, many, many years ago, I preached at Birmingham, and a lady there whom I wouldn't know today, only saw one. She told me that she sat at her sister's bedside. She said they were both brought up under the sound of truth, but her sister had gone her own way, and now she was on the deathbed. She said, "I'm lost. I'm going to hell. There is no hope." Dreadful thing. What needs to be, there is then. Again, the sound. Jesus loved me. I love him. And friends, I know the people of God are able to say that because the Lord God gives them that he has denied to many sweet communion through the mediatorial power of his own dear Son. There is the evidence. A sinner out of Christ never was able to commune with a holy God. As you look back, time and faith of you is here. Then, my friends, it is he brought me up out of the horrible pit. Out of the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, established my borders. And we will leave it here for this morning. There's a richness in this text. It is Christ and Christ alone. May he help us then to leave it now in the evening with his will. Seek to exalt that